Next month, for the first time in four decades, Libya will hold its first open elections. But the shadow of the old regime hangs over the process. According to the Agence France-Presse, anyone with ties to the Muammar Gaddafi government cannot run in the elections, and a law passed 2 weeks ago criminalizes glorifying Gaddafi. That's not all. The law also punishes anyone who offends the Libyan uprising, or the state, or Islam. Sami Zaptia is editor of the Libya Herald. He says he's not sure what he's prohibited from doing.
It's very loose, it's very wide, it's very vague. Does it include the flag? Does it include the national anthem? Does it include the current prime minister and his government and his ministers? It is a step back in the wrong direction.
The language of this law is not all that dissimilar to that of other states in the region. There are red lines everywhere.
Yeah, but we would like to think that we're moving ahead and moving forward. We are hoping to see ourselves maybe more in line with Tunisia and the new Arab Spring nations. We are hoping to get away from those words, red lines. Libyans have a complex with that phraseology, red lines, because that's what the Gaddafi family used to tell us and warn us not to transgress the red lines, which included the Gaddafi family, his tribe, his philosophy, his green book.
Till now, have you seen any evidence that the National Transitional Council has an authoritarian streak, that you could go from the frying pan to the fire?
Let's put it this way. The NTC is a dictatorship, but it is a benign dictatorship. And the only guarantor that this is not going to last forever is, of course, that by this June, there would be elections for a parliament, for a congress that would draft a new constitution, choose a new government, that would choose a new prime minister.
Now, the elections are coming up next month. That's not a coincidence, right?
The NTC could have decreed such a law when Libya was declared liberated. They didn't, and they did it just before elections. There is another view that, in fact, speaking to a member of the NTC today, that this law partially protects pro-Gaddafi supporters. There is no sympathy for them whatsoever, and if any pro-Gaddafi supporters were to dare come out and manifest their support for the old regime by carrying the old green flag or his green book, or for, God forbid, even a poster or picture of him, blood would be spilt. So maybe really the aim is to defuse any such conflicts, any such clashes. That could be one reason, as opposed to really the NTC wanting to protect itself or the government from criticism.
A story in the Libya Herald, your paper, posted on Tuesday, quotes a former Minister of Justice criticizing the new law as, quote, a shameful duplication of the past. Under a broad interpretation of the law, this very article about the former minister's criticism could itself be a violation. Has the law till now had a chilling effect on the stories that you publish?
Not at all. I mean, we're not going to go out of our way to insult the Libyan flag or the Libyan national anthem, but there's no way we're going to stop criticizing any ministers, ministerial decisions. We try to be constructive. We try to depersonalize our criticism. We're more concerned about policy, the thrust of decisions and laws. You know, Libya democracy is nascent, and we haven't got to the advanced stage in the West, or definitely in Britain with the tabloids, of course. We're far from that now.
You've been back in Libya for 6 years, having spent 30 years in England, which means that you were laboring under the Gaddafi rule. First of all, I wonder what it's like to have been a journalist under those circumstances. I guess secondly, I want to know if you have an eerie sense of deja vu.
I was writing for a state-controlled, if not owned, publication. I was responsible for at least one edition to be cancelled. They were not distributed because I criticized a policy to import doctors from a neighboring country, which I thought was completely wrong when we have thousands of Libyan doctors abroad refusing to come to Libya. And I dared to raise the question, why is it that they would not come back and work in their own nation? After a while, you learn to self-edit and you learn to write in between the lines, alluding to issues and hinting to them, and the readers become sophisticated, knowing the environment we had to work in. When the law first came out, we all raised our eyebrows. You know, it was a throwback, a little flash to the kind of rules and regulations controlling what is said, what is not said, that we used to live under and we used to have to work under.
So will you now once again have to practice journalism by subtext?
No, I don't think it's that bad. This government can barely keep physical control of the nation. The court system is barely up. You know, they barely have time to put Saif al-Gaddafi on trial, yet alone put somebody like me, a minor person like me, on trial. They're probably wishing to use it more as a deterrent as opposed to an aggressive tool. Well, that's my hope anyway.
Sammy, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Sammy Zaptia is editor of the Libya Herald.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.